Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
They call it the greatest spectacle in racing. Let's begin our countdown to the Indy 500. From Autosport.com and Autosport Magazine, I'm Martin Lee. This is the Autosport Podcast. In just 10 days' time, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway will host the 106th running of the Indianapolis 500. There is something so special about the sights and sounds of the Brickyard in May, with drivers pushing their cars to over 230 miles an hour. And, of course, practice has already begun. It started on Tuesday as we head towards qualifying this weekend. I'm joined as we start to talk about the Indy 500 by our global editor-in-chief of motorsport.com, Charles Bradley, and our main man for everything IndyCar on our sister site, motorsport.com, and here on autosport.com as well, David Malcher Lopez. Now, Malsh, I asked you a couple of days ago to go away and book a guest for this podcast, and you came back with somebody who's not just won the Indy 500 once, but won it twice. We are starting pretty high up the list of people you could have booked for the podcast. We are incredibly grateful to have such a special guest talk us through the Indianapolis 500, his love for it, and building up to this year's event as well. How practice is going already fastest yesterday. We've been battling the rain since then, though. Mouse, if you could introduce him, please.
Two-time winner, one that's become rapidly a crowd favourite because his motto is no attack, no chance. And he's become absolutely beloved, especially in his homeland, Japan. Takuma Sato from Dale Coyne Racing with RWR.
Hello, everyone.
Let's get straight down to it.
Taka, you've started on the front row of the grid for the Indy 500. You've started on the back row. What's that difference between those two starting positions? When you're at the back, dirty air must be absolutely insane. What's the contrast like?
Yeah, it's totally different. You wouldn't believe it's the same track, because if you starting front row, it's only two cars. And that time, you know, the Marco shooting from pole, and then the Dixie followed, and then I followed. So third place into the turn one. And then after the second, then the back straight, I overtook Marco. So then already P2 on the lap one. And that means just only single car tow from the, you know, from the Dixon. And that is very, very calm, really easy to balance the car. And it's just kind of, you can control, you can immediately go to the leaner map to extend your fuel mileage. And you just relax and try to think about it. But when you starting from the middle or even the back row, which I did have, you know, the first year, the sixth gear is already landing out before middle of the back straight, because the turbulence, which means obviously reduction of drag, it's just enormous, and the speed you're using is just unbelievable. But then yet when into the turn one or turn three, whatever, you don't have any downforce. So yes, very, very different world. And you kind of, you feel like the car doesn't really feel right, because just the turbulence, and then a straight line or acceleration is the best ever. So you imagine it's a very tough situation. And also you feel like desperate too, because you imagine like 33 cars on a single file, it's almost half the lap. So you could easily be in threatened for the lap as well. So it's kind of try to go one by one, but it's a bit like in a Formula One, and when they call like a DRS terrain. Yes, DRS is great to overtaking, you know, the tools when you have the guy who's not have in function in front. But if you are in a DRS, everyone else, you just can't simply overtake. So this is the same situation in here too. Like after fourth, fifth car onwards and backwards, basically, we were very difficult to overtake. And imagine like you're 33 place, even you have a fastest car, very difficult to overtake.
The first time you won the Indy 500, that was in front of 300,000 fans. When you won in 2020, it was in front of zero fans and just kind of all the teams. What was the feeling like, and were the emotions any different?
Emotions perhaps the same after the race, but then you know, the introduction and before the race, it feels totally different. Now, of course, in normal day, you have 350,000 people buzzing around. You don't believe the human being actually can produce that kind of energy in one venue. And that's like kind of bucket list for the last, you know, for your life. And it's really nothing like it. I really, really love the atmosphere. And then 2020 is sad, and it feels like we just come here for the winter test. It was a completely grey, empty grandstand. But then, of course, you know, all the preparation and the teams, and you know, did everything, and that's it's a nothing different. And knowing that situation for the pandemic, that we obviously understand the situation, and also, you know, we had a great appreciation for the IMS and Roger Penske at that time, because new ownership, and then you know, entire sponsorship, you know, to make that possible to keep going with that, you know, the event, and you know, knowing that the millions of people watching in TV, so we obviously not going to be backing off for the race, you know. It was just a kind of sad, and we don't want to see it again. But hopefully for the next 100 years, and you know, the Indy 500 never had that kind of situation. But that was a basically very weird experience.
You're also one of the few, if not the only person, who stood on the podium at Indianapolis for the United States Grand Prix and the Indy 500. What do you think of Formula One's newfound growth in America? Has it surprised you?
No, I think it's a fantastic. I think some of the media aspect has helped and boost up on that one too. You know, Formula One's been Formula One all the time, but the you know, I think nowadays anyone can access worldwide through the mobile phone as well. So I think it's a good to see the motorsport fan is growing up, and then in this particular in North America, not just the oval racing, but you know, road course and street course racing is a huge interest, and so therefore all the technologies and you know, the glories of the Formula One has, you know, it is certainly striking for the US based fan, and it's great to see. And but I'm kind of surprised that they will have three races in the United States. I think it's a good thing.
You've been very fast in practice on Monday, and you were very fast in the April test. Both of those times were set with a toe, How do you feel about how your car is running solo?
First of all, really nice to be back in IMS. You know, it feels like so much, you know, fun and excited. And, you know, it's great, particularly, obviously, we had a few times and difficult time in a pandemic. And then now they try to get 100% of the audience. That's great news. So fans are already here to excited as well. So the April test was the kind of a cold day, like below 60s in ambient temperature. So it's not quite representative for the end of the May, but it can be happened that cold day. And then initially DCR car worked pretty well, but it was kind of knife edge as well. So I've known some of the good part from the old houses, and I applied to the a few little tricks, and then the car become quite lively with environment that I kind of my liking. So it's great to see the car reacting in that way, and therefore once I got confident, I was able to get a big tow. You know, basically the speed 2 to 9 miles per hour you'd never be able to achieve by yourself. In any cases, probably 219 to 220 in the best case scenario. So you get a plus 10 miles in tow. This is an average we talk about. So people thinking, yeah, tow is easy because you get a reduction of the drag and easy to achieve it. Yes and no, because the car needs to be able to absorb the all the less downforce issue with the turbulence, because when you follow the car, of course, you lose the downforce as well as the drag, and that's why you go fast. But then if car's not great, then in a turbulence, you get either snap oversteer or understeer, all sorts of things. So yeah, the car needs to be working well. Therefore, I was able to catching or hunting a big tow, and I did it on April 2. So that was a good sign. And since then, of course, team did a careful analysis, and you know, the Dale Coyne Racing is well known as you know, the Dale loves young drivers, up and coming talented drivers to bring to the series. At the same time, he's so keen to win the 500 too. So this year is really he said he's a perfect combination with you know, David Marukas, who is up and coming, you know, one of the youngest driver, and who has got speed, and then Dale has got me as well, so it's working pretty well. And then the Dale Coyne Racing's engineering is it's a bit like old days of the Williams, you know, it's very, very engineering oriented, and it's just so much ideas and so much details and a meticulous job on the car. It's a small group, very limited resource. We don't have a luxury of a Penske, Ganassi, Andretti, or all five cars access and all the wind tunnel and stuff like that. But I think they are doing extremely great job. You can tell, past few seasons in particular. And then they did really well. So when we come back here on the first day, we had a little issue and it shook down our speedway car. But in the afternoon, we were able to hook up speed quite quickly. And then once again, I was getting quite comfortable with it. And therefore, at the end of the day, we put a new tire, get tow hunting, and then went to the big lap. So I just wanted to make sure the car is capable to do that in any condition.
The days of charging from like the middle of the grid into the lead, like Ryan Hunter Ray did in 2014, and like you did for about 4 seconds in 2012, those days seem to have gone a bit. Does that put even more emphasis on how qualifying goes for you on Saturday?
Qualify will be extremely important. There's two meanings that is knowing that car has got road speed. That's something really important, because even though the fastest car doesn't mean you can win the race, but still you have to have equipment, have got the low speed. In a race day, race trim is different from a qualifying car, but still, end of the day, how you utilize the four tires with a balance and without sacrificing speed. So that's all about low speeds. And, you know, that's fundamentally that's come from. So yeah, I mean, a top 10 speed, if you have a non-tow situation and within the top 10 car, I think anyone can have an opportunity to win the race. But overtaking is getting extremely difficult, even though IndyCar introduced a couple of the airlock devices, they called like barge board and stuff like that, which all help. But the problem is they are draggy parts as well. So in terms of air efficiency, we are losing a bit. So you can, yes, get closer, but then you can't get away from the pack, and which is perhaps is good for the sport because no one can just go shooting off. You know, 2020, we quickly found a great solution, and the car worked extremely well. We didn't have a low speed. But then we are such a consistent car at the race whole day. So therefore, the entire stint, some of the team had a rapidly ramping up the speed, and then after five laps, and then they degraded quite massively, where we had a very nice, you know, nice hump, like a hill on the degradation. So yeah, that's made me really, really quick and strong and particular. So maybe let's say last 7-8 laps on each stint over 30 laps. So that's what's crucial. So today, 2012 was extreme condition with over 100 degrees in the hottest race in history. And yeah, Dario and myself was starting to the mid-pack, but then we were shining on the race. And, you know, some other cases, vice versa too. But I think any conditions now, I think DCR car seems to be reacting well. And now it's just a matter of the next few days that how can we tune the car to adapting on the condition with a sacrificing speed. So looks like it's difficult to overtake, therefore the qualifier is more important, but still, you know, 500 miles is so long, and 5, 6, 7 pit stops and any sequence can be going crazy. So yeah, I think, yeah, qualifier is important, but it's not crucial.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Rick Mears used to say that the 4 laps of qualifying were the most intense thing he's ever done. Would you do you feel that way too, or was it like your like when you did your, I don't know, your rookie orientation back in 2010?
Well, the qualifier, it is a really intense 4 laps, but the I do remember at KV days, and the first time I come here, and I guess I really didn't know anything about it. And obviously the background wise doesn't come from British Formula 3 and the Formula 1. It's just basically low cost orientation. And yes, I did race in IndyCar a few times at that time. And then I did a oval experience as well. But in the back of mind, you can still believe that you can control the car in most of the cases. And your understeer, neutral, oversteer, how do you say, the precision is a bit different from oval. Let's say, in easy words, probably any neutral feeling in an oval is extreme oversteer in the road course. So you feel like you can in control, but it's all about understeer in oval. Because if you truly have oversteer, that means just that you end up slowly going to the wall. And I was probably, A, just didn't know simply, but secondly, maybe overconfident. That was the early morning of a qualifying simulation. First time I trimmed a big time, and then the car applied with all the alignment for the qualifying trim, which you don't want to basically turn a wheel because you know, you try to free the car as much as you could. So then I was kind of, yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, this is still easy. They go flat and fast, and then approaching turn two, and suddenly, it really suddenly, back end lost it. And I just didn't know what happened. And then suddenly, all the scenery I was watching, it was 180 degrees backwards, and it went to the 200 miles per hour. And a fraction of seconds later, I've got 120 G-force, you know, in the impact. And that was just some experience that, wow, you know, I mean, I couldn't breathe, and then obviously bruises all over the bodies. But then I just realized you have to really respect to go fast here. So that was my first experience in the crashing oval in a big time. And then since then, of course, you learn what it takes and what you need to go fast in four laps. Now, of course, if you try to how can I say, too greedy, it's become kind of like a front tire, rear tire, all the car's slip angle become all equalized, which is absolute neutral. But then end of the day, still the rear tire is a traction. It's a driven, you know, the tool. So you want to have a slight more understeer than the neutral. And that's a basically perfect way.
2012, you're fighting for the win. All the TV commentators are saying you need to hold back. Don't try and pass Dario into turn one. Save it for turn three. I'd like you to tell our listeners why you had to make your move at turn one in 2012.
It's tough to understand from outside, but it's something related with the wind direction that I talked about earlier. So that day was a very typical wind direction from turn one to turn three. So you become headwind turn four onwards to the main straight, and then you become tailwind into turn two to the back straight. So on the 2012, like I said, so Darian and I started 19th, whatever, it's just mid-pack. You know, we were lined up in a similar performance. And then the race day, we both moved up. So I did actually have a lots of opportunity to go back and forth with him during the race. But with 199 laps, I never succeed overtook him in turn three, because the Ganassi car had a little bit more straight line speed. And then because of the tailwind into turn two, the made basically car is more understeer naturally and very difficult to follow. So you can catch him by end of the straight in turn three, but I just never be able to even attempt to overtaking. So I know it has to be turn one. Why turn one? Because in turn four, it's headwind. So any the balance shift is become more to the front grip because it's, I think it basically the front wing has got more air basically. So even in tow situation, you are actually able to get in crossing up a little bit faster. And then of course in the main straight, it is headwind, which is on the in this case Dario, who had more air resistance than a back straight, basically. I mean, at the end of the day, it's become terminal velocity, but the matter of the time, how you get to the top speed, it is slower on the main straight. So there's a much greater closing speed I had from turn four to turn one. And then, of course, you know, the white flag, and that time, I just overtook Dixon. This next lap is really the only chance, and then coming because only turn one is only once, because next time will be after the checkered flag. So for me, that was only time. And then, of course, when I was catching him turn four, the distance was a little far than usual attempt, but I could see the greater crossing speed. And then it caught him quicker than what I thought. And then Dario knew that one too. So once he driving to the inside and then trying to go out to like a normal approach, but then soon he realized because I'm coming, he quickly pointing nose to the inside to go into the defending line, which of course is like we are both since coming like inside, it's like entry is way too shallow. So everybody thought we are going to the flat, but it's not. It's we gently braking downshift, and then we both cars went to the turn one, which at that time, the first priority for me is just don't hit Dario. Because if you hit the Dario to put him in fence and then we're winning, that's not the name of the sport. So I tried to really avoid him. By the time I realized I was on the white line. And the moment I thought, shit. And then my back end just immediately lost the grip. And that was the end of the story. So it was a very, very difficult situation. But I thought I had opportunity. And it's the only opportunity, actually, and could make it. But it didn't. So people saying, yeah, I should wait in turn three. But if I waited, I'm never going to make it. So that was my my theory. Yes.
It's easy for us to say that you had to wait 5 years for your next chance to win, but that leaves a long time for you to be thinking maybe that was my only chance and it went wrong. You know, some people don't get another chance. You know, like you look at J.R. Hildebrand in 2011. You know. Did those thoughts ever trouble you, or did you always have the faith that one day you would get back into that situation where you could actually fight for the win?
I always believe there is a second chance. And maybe just the once of the life chance is happening only once, I guess. But I think it's just obviously it's impossible to predict what's happening in the future. Especially this is relative things, you know, it's just not by your own thing. You know, it is rival, it is a combination. So it's millions away. So there is a chance, I think. And of course, yeah, after 2012, like you said, and well, it felt like that was an amazing opportunity and I lost it. And then the following year, I of course went to the, driving for the AJ, which was fantastic. You know, to very proud to driving for number 14 car. And we won in the Long Beach, you know, amongst of the after big teams. But the Super Speedway and the Indy 500, we had a very, very difficult time, some tough time. And then, people start thinking that was only short. But I never thought so, because unless you're trying, you will have another chance. You will have another opportunity. JL might have a great opportunity coming this year too. You know, I think you just never know. But if you quit or if you just give up, that's it. That's the end of the story. So for me, I always believed, and if I could do it on the small Rahal Retaman Landing and Racing back in 2012, really challenging for the win for the one of the biggest and established team and established a driver, I think we should be proud with that moment. And if I could do that with the right equipment, with the right environment, I will have it next time. So that's what I was thinking. And then after turn one situation, yes, of course, I reviewed a million times and then I would do differently, you know, definitely. And then I was just waiting that opportunity, learning, experience, and then just waiting for it, but always trying to find opportunity to come back to the 500. And 5 years later, yes, I had lastly had an equal equipment with the one of the top team in Andretti Autosport. And then I had Fernando Alonso as a teammate, and, you know, Ryan Huntley, Alexander Rossi, and Marco Andretti, and so on, Harvey as well. It was just a great organization. I just believed I could do the job, and I just never stopped to believe in myself for that, because of that.
You won your two 500s with obviously two different teams, but also two very different kind of cars. You know, the ugly manufacturer Aero kit in 2017, mm-hmm. and then the car in 2020 but you had to learn the Aero screen.
The Aero screen, first of all, initially when I thought, not pretty, this is honest feeling, but you just can't deny with the safety. You know, the driver, especially for the open wheel cockpit, it'd be threatened for flying debris all the time. Imagine it's just a two gram of the bolt and hit you in 230 miles per hour. It is like a bullet. So it is really important to have, and I'm sure this is next generation thing. So we have also no option as well. So yes, we have absorbed it, we accept it, and then we go. You feel safe, and that's a great thing. I think that's a fantastic thing. But the one hand, there is one thing, the driver lost ability is feel the wind. The wind is a very, very big part of sense for me, soon realized. So when into the corner, your stream left and right is different. You know, it's kind of jet stream, isn't it? It's a 200 miles per hour wind is your inch away from the helmet. And thereabout, you can feel it. When you have a single car tow or double car or triple car tow or 15 cars tow, it's all different. And that's not just this come from the steering and the pure tire grip, but also the body feels the wind pressure as well. So that's, I lost it. So I think, initially I felt this is a very important part and I was just kind of losing it. But, like for example, like a sports car program or other, you know, the GTs and all the stuff. Also, they don't have that sense either. So there must be the way you can redirect your feeling to reconnect what you need for the driving, you know, the driving the car fast. And then I soon just be able to adapt it. But still, like, some little missing part is just the Airstream. And today I'm get used to, but I still missing that one. I think that's for me, it was important. Nowadays, probably even I say important, but just there's no way to come back. So, but I think the Airstream is a great thing for the safety, and you just have to live with it, you know, how you go fast the car or drive the fast.
Last word before we let you go, Charles. Anything you want to finish off with and ask Takuma?
I just wonder what the style of racing is going to be like in this Memorial Day. Are we going to see a race where you're going to be able to make some moves, get some good runs with this car, or are you expecting maybe that the racing might be a bit more follow my leader and the strategy might be the biggest part of the race?
It's tough to say. Strategy is one thing. But as I said, I think it's 500 miles race. Anybody could strategize. It's no point because it's by halfway through with the yellow, it's all your strategy with Lewin. But maybe the last two stint, perhaps he can do a little clever things. But I still believe unless it's a green track condition, you will see the like a really tight battle, like last year, you know, Alex and Helio showed us, and so did every single year. You know, it is extremely difficult to overtake compared to in the past, but still you can overtake, and particularly the first two guys be able to swap the position relatively easy. So I believe in a white flag, if you're leading the race, it's not guaranteed for the win either. So watch out your wind direction, and then watch out who you are racing. But you will have an extremely exciting race for sure.
Right on. Sounds like it'd be as exciting as 2012, hopefully with a better outcome for you.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Well, look, guys, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast today. It's our first of our preview episodes, and fascinating to start to get into what I think for many of our European listeners as well that are maybe used to a shorter format of a racing weekend or even a kind of one day event, just to start to the excitement that builds around this event and how it's much more than just a couple of days. Well, that's our first show done. And
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess.
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In the books. Thank you very much for listening, and make sure you tune in for the next one.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When Shopify says you can sell anywhere, they mean it. Woo, hold up. Just got a new sale. Order fulfilled and shipped. Inventory level's good. Whoa, Shopify doesn't mind if you're at sea level. Or on top of the world. You can run and grow your business anywhere. Climbing mountains is never easy, but at least Shopify gives me all the tools I need for my business to hit new peaks.
Whether you're selling carabiners or crop tops, start selling with Shopify today and join the platform simplifying commerce for millions of businesses worldwide. We've built the platform so you can keep climbing and grow your business to new heights.
With Shopify, you really can sell to anyone from anywhere.
This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. Start selling online today. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/free22. 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 Internet connection required. Not available on Mountaintop's receive floors.
Sports Social Podcast Network.